It's time for the sustainability feature, and all eyes on the budget yesterday, which revealed that the carbon tax is going to be going ahead next January. And South Africa has ratified the Paris Agreement to endorse our nationally determined contributions, our NDCs, which will require considerable reductions in energy-related carbon emissions in the country. And the Paris Agreement is this global understanding of the requirement for greenhouse gas emissions to reduce in future if we're going to mitigate and lessen some of the impacts of climate change. Obviously, it was a big issue at the recent World Economic Forum as well, and the carbon tax bill is seen to be a measure in which to start to straighten the backs of some of the major emitters. Well, Terry Wynn-Stanley, Director and National Head of the Environmental Practice at Cliffdekker Hofmeyr, is on the show to tell us a little bit more about what we can expect from Paris and the carbon tax. Welcome to the show, Terry.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks for inviting me.
Now, climate change was one of the big subjects of discussion at the World Economic Forum recently. Experts were really concerned around the insufficient urgency in meeting the goals of the Paris Agreement. It seems now, at least, that our own Treasury is acting with some urgency following years of, shall we say, kicking the can down the road with the carbon tax. What did you make of the budget announcement?
Well, I think it's to be welcomed. We don't yet know exactly what formulation the carbon tax will take. We've seen previous drafts, but we haven't yet seen the final one. But it certainly is a welcome commitment because, as you say, that can has been kicked down the road a few times. But there are other measures that we have implemented in order to address our international law obligations under various international agreements. So we should take account of those.
What are we actually doing to meet the goals of the Paris Agreement? And in line with that, you know, the Sustainable Development Goals have also been released recently, and we haven't really, perhaps a lot of work is going on behind the scenes, but there hasn't been a great deal of media attention on what's going on in that space.
Well, from a legal point of view, there are some developments. First of all, we have some emission reporting regulations, and we have greenhouse gas reporting regulations, which require specific industries, including gas and coal, pulp and paper, and iron and steel, to report on their greenhouse gases and also to implement pollution prevention plans. So there is definitely a legal framework in place that's starting to address the issue. And then, of course, there are also initiatives of private companies who are coming to understand the importance of addressing climate change for their own sustainability.
And obviously, it's imperative here for business, for corporate South Africa, to take a lead, to be one of the key drivers of these particular mandates, be it our NDCs or the Paris Agreement.
Yeah, absolutely. Because aside from Eskom, the largest emitters are private corporates. So it's they that make a significant contribution to climate change, and they who have control over its addressing it.
Yeah, think about it. Sasol, the mineral beneficiators, the Anglos, mm-hmm. the PPCs, those are certainly going to be the companies that will be hardest hit over time by any proposed carbon tax. As you say, we still don't know the exact mechanism and modalities by which the tax will be implemented, so very difficult to speculate exactly how hard they will be hit. From your perspective, Terry, obviously as a legal advisory firm, I'm sure you must field questions and queries from large listed entities about what their obligations are. Are you noticing increased attention from corporate South Africa on things like our NDCs and the Paris Agreement?
Yes, it's actually very heartening. 5 years ago, people weren't really talking about this. But now people are talking not only about what their legal obligations are, but how they can be proactive. So identifying their threats and their opportunities. So water scarcity is likely to be a threat. Energy will continue to be a threat, and particularly for entities that have assets with a long lifespan, the risk of stranded assets is becoming a consideration. Then also opportunities need to be considered. Global warming will certainly create some opportunities that need to be exploited, and corporate South Africa is certainly starting to look at that.
As we know, I mean, you're down in Cape Town. The Cape Town water crisis has focused the mind and the attention on obviously the threats of running out of such a scarce and critical resource such as water, but also the opportunity for desalination and other solutions.
Yes, yeah.
What is the mood like in Cape Town? I see, you know, the all the messaging and perhaps one scary mascot have forced back Day Zero quite substantially. What is the mood in Cape Town like? Because often we've seen similar crises historically in the past, in the 70s and the 80s. I was chatting to Deshika Naidu at the Water Research Commission about this. They raise the profile of the water issue in South Africa. We are among the 30 driest countries in the world. But as soon as we get over that little hump and it rains again, a lot of that attention seems to fade away. Is there a sense that we're going to be able to harness the energy and the momentum that's built up now to effect some real lasting change?
Michael, there's definitely a real focus on water in Cape Town. I mean, people talk about nothing else. But I think also we need to accept that this is the new normal. We are looking at three very dry years, which climatologists have described as a 1 in 1,000 year event, or simply, you know, climate change. And I think that people will not think the same way about water again, and that there will be shifts in behavior, even if it does start to rain again.
That was Terry Winstanley, Director and National Head of the Environmental Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Terry is also the past President of the Environmental Law Association of South Africa and past Chairperson of the Associated Law Societies of South Africa's Committee on Environmental Law, sharing obviously some concerns, but I think overwhelmingly the message is that corporate South Africa is starting to wake up to the message around sharing the responsibility on dealing with climate change, which should be welcomed and is certainly encouraging news. Up next,